ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. دور الشيخ الله. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, continuing from our last session of Darsi Hadith, when the envoy reached back to Yemen and information was given to Bilqis with regards to the magnificence of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam and his kingdom, Bilqis, the queen of Saba, she decided to go and personally meet up with Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam. And so she went with a convoy of 100,000 people, a strong army of 100,000 people. And this was not, of course, to confront Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam, but actually to meet him and most probably to make peace with him. And so Khair, when Bilqis, the queen of Saba, when she left Yemen with a community of 100,000 traveling with her, Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam said to the people, when he noticed that there was this dust cloud looming in the horizon, so he said to some of the jinns that were there, that what is this that I see? What is this that I see? So the jinns gave him information and they said to him, Hazrat, this is Bilqis with her people, that they come to meet you. And the Mufassireen, the scholars have mentioned that she was very close to Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, only a distance of 3 miles. A distance of 3 miles. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam said to the people that were around him at that time, the jinns and his ministers and the scholars that were with him all the time, he said to them that who will bring the arsh, the throne of Bilqis, in front of me immediately? Ayyukum ya'tini bi arshiha. Who will bring the arsh of Bilqis immediately? Now Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam knew, of course, that this was the most precious possession of Bilqis. When, of course, she would travel, she would make sure that the arsh, the throne, is left in a very secure enclosure, an impregnable enclosure. Nobody could get to that area. So Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam looked around and said, who will get me the arsh? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned here, qala ifritum min al jinn. This gigantic jinn, this huge jinn, stood up and he said to Sulaiman alayhi salam, أَنَا آتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَن تَقُومَ مِن مَقَامِكَ. Hazrat, it will be a safe delivery. It will be a safe, secure delivery and a fast one. How fast? Hazrat, before you stand up, the arsh will be in front of you. Allahu Akbar. Before Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam can stand up, the arsh, which was in an impregnable enclosure, you could not get there. The arsh will be there. And only a few people knew exactly where the arsh was. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam looked at this huge jinn ifrit and smiled at him. Subhanallah, the scholars have mentioned that what we understand from this ayat kareema is that the jinns are very strong. The jinns are very strong. Single-handedly for him to go to Yemen to find out where the arsh is and to immediately present that arsh in front of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam in that speed that before you stand up it will be in front of you. So we are actually dealing with a complete different makhluk, with a complete different makhluk, very strong. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam wanted someone to bring the arsh even faster than this, even more faster than this. And so there was a great alim that would sit in his majlis, and the Quran says, قال الذي عنده علم من الكتاب. There was a person, of course, who had knowledge of the kitab, knowledge of the kitab. He was not a jinn. And he challenged the ifrit. What did he do? He challenged the jinn that was there. And that is why insan, as human beings, they have this ability to overpower the jinns also. And we see this here. He challenged the jinn, wanting to take the job from that jinn, and so he gets the dua and the barakat of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. So he said, أَنَا آتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَرْتَدَّ إِلَيْكَ تَرْفُكَ. Hazrat, before your glance returns back to you, I will have the arsh here. As in, faster than the blinking of the eye. Faster than the blinking of the eye. Allahu Akbar. So the jinn looked at him. The jinn looked at him. That's very fast. That's very fast indeed. And so Sulaiman alayhi salam, he says, Hazrat, I will do this. Forget this ifrit, I will do it. And he said, Hazrat, look towards Yemen. Turn, just move your glance towards Yemen. And so as Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam looked towards Yemen, the arsh was there. So he said, just look, put your glance towards Yemen. And Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam just turned this way, and the arsh was there. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Incredible individuals. Who was this man? Asif ibn Barqiyya. Asif ibn Barqiyya. His name was Asif, and the scholars have mentioned that he was amongst the companions of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, a very big alim, and Allah had blessed him with the knowledge of Ism-e-Azam. Ism-e-Azam. Ism-e-Azam, of course, means that the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Asma'ul Husna, when you read it in a special manner, in that methodology, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept all your du'as. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will generally accept all your du'as. And this was also his karamat. And so this is how he would work. So he knew Ism-e-Azam. And immediately by Ism-e-Azam, the arsh was brought in front of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam. Some of the scholars have mentioned that this man was actually Hazrat Khizr alayhi salam, not Asif ibn Barqiyya, but it was Hazrat Khizr alayhi salam. So you have two opinions. Some say it was Hazrat Khizr alayhi salatu wasalam, but majority of the Mufassirin have mentioned it was actually a man whose name is Asif, who was the son of the maternal auntie of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And so he was also related to Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Now immediately the arsh was there. 3 miles the distance for Bilqis to come. And already before Bilqis could come with 100,000 people, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam has retrieved her, the arsh, it's here in front. Subhanallah Razim. What was the first action taken by Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam? What a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the arsh was there, you'll find general individuals to be chuffed. To be chuffed. And sometimes you'll find a lot of people are very self-centered. When Allah opens the doors of blessings, people have this tendency to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People have this tendency. When life becomes very comfortable, insan can forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look at Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam, blessed with everything. The jinns were there, scholars were there, ministers were there, this kingdom was there. And the first thing when the arsh is there, he says, Hada min fadli rabbi, hada min fadli rabbi, subhanallah. This is only by the grace of Almighty Allah, my Rabb. What you see here, this is not my kamal, this is not my doing. This is by the grace of Almighty Allah, my Lord. It is Allah who is merciful to me. And then he said, لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَأَشْكُرُ أَمْ أَكْفُرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to test me, am I thankful to him? Am I thankful to him or am I ungrateful? The scholars have mentioned here a very important lesson. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the doors of blessings for an individual, he should be there all the time thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as we see here in the story of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam. And so khair, the arsh was now with Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam. And so Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam thereafter said, Nakkiru laha arshaha. Nakkiru laha arshaha. Nanzur atahtadi. That what you do, let us make a subtle modification to the arsh. A very slight change to the arsh, just to test her. Slight change. Imagine you have this, your own brand new car, and someone takes it, and a slight modification, and they say, is this your car? Is this your car? And Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam wanted to test her. She was the queen of Sabah, and the people around her felt that she was the most elite. And so Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, the jinns were there. Immediately within a few seconds, it was slightly modified. Slightly changed. Nakkiru laha arshaha nanzur atahtadi. Let us see that if she recognizes. Subhanallah. And so now Queen Bilqis, the queen of Sabah, she comes to meet Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And as she comes, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam is there, and the arsh is also there. And so the Quran says, فَلَمَّا جَاءَتْ قِيلَ أَهَاكَذَا عَرْشُكَ. So when she came, it was said to her that, is this something like your throne? Is this something like your arsh? Is this your arsh? Is it something like your arsh? Now she was an intelligent lady, of course. And she gave an answer. She said, قَالَتْ كَأَنَّهُ هُ. It seems to be the same. What did she say? It seems to be the same. It seems to be the same. She didn't give a definitive answer that it is mine definitely, most definitely. She didn't say that. And the reason for that, of course, was she could not believe the fact that someone has the power to retrieve the arsh even before her arrival in front of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. How is this possible? Arsh was her private, personal, precious possession. And that Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam has this. So she's saying, قَالَتْ كَأَنَّهُ. It seems like this. It seems to be the same. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam said to her, look at it carefully. Is it your arsh? And she says, بَسْ قَالَتْ كَأَنَّهُ. And then another surprise that comes from Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam had asked the jinns before her arrival to quickly construct a beautiful palace. And so before her arrival, this palace was constructed. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam said to her, قِيلَ لَهَدْخُلِ السَّرْحِ, enter the palace. The word as-sarh here in this ayat kareema means a palace. قِيلَ لَهَدْخُلِ السَّرْحِ, that enter the palace. And this was an incredible palace. She was amazed and shocked to see such beauty around Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Falamma ra'athu, the Quran says that when she saw this palace, it is said that when the first batch of people go to Jannah, subhanallah, for many, many years they will stand in one position only admiring the first glance of Jannah. Imagine how beautiful it must be. For many, many years they will just be standing in that position admiring the beauty of Jannah. When for the first time a person goes to Haram Sharif, mashallah, that opportunity is given to him to actually see the Kaaba. It's an incredible experience. And he just wants to fixate his eyes on this beautiful building that's in front of him. Subhanallah. Imagine Jannah. And so Sulaiman alayhi salam said, فَلَمَّا رَأَتْهُ حَسِبَتْهُ لُجَّةً. The Quran says that she thought that this was a pool of deep water, possibly that before you enter into a palace there was some kind of a passage or a corridor, and she felt that this was a pool of deep water. فَلَمَّا رَأَتُ حَسِبَتْهُ لُجَّةً. Lujja means a pool where there's water. And so what she did, وَكَشَفَتْ عَنْ سَاقَيْهَا, she was wearing this gown. And so she uncovered her legs. She uncovered her legs in a way that certain parts of her body was exposed. The calf was exposed. Now, Imam Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi has clearly mentioned here that when she exposed her calf, thinking that this was water, immediately Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam turned his face away. He was a Nabi of Allah. Who was he? He was a Nabi of Allah. And we need to understand this. And thereafter he said something to Bilqis. But we'll cover that. That is why there is a narration. Hazrat Jarir radiallahu ta'ala anha said that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam instructed us to divert an unintentional glance. What did he say to us? To divert an unintentional glance. So if you've seen something unintentionally, then you divert your glance. You should not sustain your glance there. It's first glance only. That is cheating. What is it? That is cheating. This is what the Jewish women do. That they are supposed to cover the head and the hair. So what they do is they wear a wig. What do? They wear a wig. So it's not my original hair, it is the wig. That is what they say. Allahu Akbar. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said this. So we have to understand that she thought, of course, that this was water. Like if you're walking along a shallow pool, what you have to do is, if you're wearing something, you'll have to lift up your garment so that it doesn't become wet. So this is what she did. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh, subhanallah, in his time he says that I wanted to meet a man who by profession was a blacksmith, Imam Malik. And Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh, he stayed in his mother's stomach for how long? For how long? Bhai, tell me. Generally, what is the case? A baby stays in the stomach for
9 months.
How many, what was the period of time that Imam Malik stayed in the mother's stomach for? 4 years. How many years? 4 years. And this is a fact. Imam Malik stayed in the mother's stomach for 4 years. It's only now in the modern world that they are in a rush to take out the baby. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, fine, you people have invented this incubator, keep the incubator. Nikalo bache. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I have made everything a safe abode, the mother's stomach, and when Allah wills, the baby will come out. That is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thumma sabila yassara. This is what Allah is saying, when Allah wills, the baby comes out. Imam al-Dhahaq stayed in the mother's stomach for a long period of time. Imam Malik stayed for 4 years. How many years? 4 years. And this is a fact. So this great faqih of Medina Munawwara, Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, says that I went to see this man. By profession, he was a blacksmith. By profession, he was a blacksmith. And what he would do is that, subhanallah, he was a blacksmith who would not use any tools when it came to the molding of metal in fire. He would not use tools. Generally, you'll find a blacksmith to have something like a hammer to mold that metal piece, whatever is there. But he was a man who would work with his hands, and there was no tools, and the fire would not burn his hands. So Imam Malik heard of this, and Imam Malik said, let me go and see this man. So it is said that Imam Malik went to see him. And Imam Malik said to him, show me this. So he said, fine. And he actually put his hands in the fire. And he was working with the metal that was there, molding it, turning it with his own hands. Of course the fire was there. But no harm would come to his body. Nothing would burn his fingers or the hand. Allahu Akbar. So Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi said to him that, tell me, subhanallah, what is this karamat? How have you received this? Do you pray something? Or is it just something that is given to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So he said to Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi that generally I would not reveal this. This is something very private. But because it is Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, I will tell you. And so he said that in the neighborhood there was this very beautiful lady that lives, and I was captivated by her beauty, enchanted by her beauty. And every time she would walk past, I would see her. She was an extremely beautiful lady. But subhanallah, a woman who was touched by poverty, poverty stricken. And in her desperation, one day she came to me and she said to me that, if you can help me financially, if you can help me financially. But at the same time, there was this desire in me, burning desire. So I said to her, I took advantage of her desperation and I said to her that, look, I'll give you money provided you give me access to your body. I'll give you money, but you give me access to your body. That is how much I wanted this lady. And so this lady said, no, that is not possible. She went away. After a few days, she came. And she said that, Allah knows my desperation is such that do whatever you want to do with me, but do assist me and give me something. Help me. And so he agreed to that. That was the condition, give me access to your body. And so he took her in the room and she was there standing. So she said to this man, this blacksmith, that look, can you make sure that all the doors are shut, the windows are shut, So he said, fine, I'm closing all the doors, the windows are shut, there is nobody here. And then she said, no, make sure you shut that window also. So he said, no, I've shut all the windows. He said, no, shut that window. So he said, look, I've shut all the windows, there is nobody here, nobody knows that we are here. She said, no, there's one window open through which Allah can see us. There is one window that is open through which Allah can see us. When she said that, this man was a man of Iman, of course. And this fear gripped him of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh, by now you're telling me, in this mood that you tell me that Allah is watching me, what choice do I have? And he took up the courage and he said, for the sake of Allah, I am going to help you and assist you, and I don't want anything to do with you or your body. And for the pleasure of Allah, take whatever you want. It is said that this lady stood up and she lifted up her hands and she made a dua and she said, Allahumma najjihi minan nari dunya wal akhirah. Allah, protect this man from the fire of this dunya and the fire of Jahannam. Allah, protect this man from the fire of dunya and the fire of the hereafter. This blacksmith said that it is actually the dua of that lady that Allah has accepted. I have noticed that now I am not in need of any tools because fire does not burn me. It is the accepted dua of that lady. And so we need to understand here in the story of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam that Bilqis, despite the fact that she felt there's water, and so slightly there was an exposure of her calves, but Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam turned the face away. He turned the face away and then he said to her, there is no need for you to do this. إِنَّهُ صَرْحٌ مُمَرَّدٌ مِّن قَوَارِيرٍ. He said that this palace has been constructed from an array of glasses, from an array of glasses. And the glass was so clear, as if it was completely invisible. The entire palace was made from glass. And as if it was completely invisible. So as she was walking, the palace was such that beneath was a pond. Beneath was a pond and a river that was flowing. And she thought that obviously getting into the palace, the feet will become wet. But in reality, there was a glass that was there. And she looked at this palace. And she said, Allahu Akbar. Immediately when she saw this palace and when she noticed that this arsh is also her own arsh, she said, Qalat Rabbi inni zalamtu nafsi. Qalat Rabbi inni zalamtu nafsi. She said, oh my Lord, I have wronged myself. Wa aslamtu ma'a Sulaiman. And I submit myself along with Sulaiman alayhi salam to Allah, lillahi, to Allah, Rabbil Alameen. Rabbil Alameen, subhanAllah. Who is the Lord of the worlds. And so immediately she took shahada in front of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam and she became a Muslima. And so now, mashallah, she became a Muslima. The question is, of course, what had happened to her kingdom? Her kingdom was annexed to the empire of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, and he was the man who was ruling that area. Now, did Bilqis get married to Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam? There is no mentioning of this in the Quran. However, in Ibn Asakir, there is a narration that Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam did actually get married to Bilqis, and he married her, and it is said that he would go and visit her in Yemen 3 days in a month. He would visit her for 3 days in a month. Every month he would go for 3 days to visit Bilqis. But however, she was in Yemen, but she was not again there as a ruler. She was not there as a ruler. She was not the queen for the people, because now everything was under the control of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Khair, subhanallah, this is what the Quran speaks of in describing the majesty, the glory, this magnificence that was given to Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, this grandeur that was given to him. And that is why it is said that some of the scholars have mentioned that Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam was given so much in this dunya, and so all the prophets will enter Jannah. All the prophets will enter Jannah without a doubt. But there will be many prophets that will go before him. He will also go, definitely. There is no doubt in that. He is the Nabi of Allah, don't get me wrong. But after many of the prophets that will go first before him, why? In balance of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him a prophet, but at the same time he was the great king that lived in this dunya for a period of time. And so this is the story of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah give us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. I want the brothers to welcome Brother Hamza here, mashallah, a new Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him barakah. And so all the brothers know him here. Brother Hamza has accepted shahada. And inshallah ta'ala to make sure that he is welcomed in the community. So whenever he comes, mashallah, for brothers to greet him and to make him feel at home, inshallah. Dua kare. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwab rahim. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhira. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min rizaka wal-jannah wa na'udhu bika min ghadabika wal-nar. Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.